In his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, Charles Swindoll addresses this issue. And he reminds us that the difference between a life of mediocrity and a life of significance, it's not talent, it's not opportunity, not even intelligence, it's priority. The question is not, are you busy? The question is, are you focused on what comes first? This July, Lord willing, Sandra and I will be traveling to Washington State, where we're going to attend a family reunion on my side. And I started making plans and some reservations for this trip already. Well, that process gave me the idea of our outline this morning. So I invite you to take a road trip with me. Not to Washington State, although that would be a wonderful destination. Love to have you come along. But let's travel to a spiritual kingdom destination of godly priorities. But before we can reach our destination, we're going to make three stops along the way. These aren't just pleasure, leisure stops. They're essential stops for fuel and other resources that will equip us with the necessities in order to reach our destination of godly priorities. So buckle up, enjoy the ride, and come along with me as we lean into what God would say to us about priorities. The names of these stops on this road trip are the cities of clarity, courage, and consistency. More specifically, clarity of purpose, courage to protect, and consistency in practice. So let's check out our first stop. Clarity of purpose. Before you can determine what comes first, before you can even have a clue of what a priority is, you've got to know why you are here. Why are you here? Why has God created you? The foundational scripture this morning that we're going to use is Matthew 6:33. It's a common scripture. Probably many of you can say it by heart. These words are from Jesus concerning our Heavenly Father. He says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In that verse, Jesus didn't say, seek everything and try to fit God in there somewhere. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Priority begins with clarity. If you don't decide what matters most, the world's going to decide for you. Other people are going to decide for you. The most important things, like our relationship with God, our calling, our character, they can easily get pushed to the side and we don't think about them, or maybe even just get totally replaced by things like emails and demands and errands and endless scrolling and minor tasks. But Jesus gives us a great example to follow. Look at his focus and his priority in Mark 1:35. It says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Crowds were waiting. Needs were pressing. But Jesus prioritized relationship with his Heavenly Father. If the Son of God needed to prioritize, if he needed alignment in this area, how much more do we? Here's some application questions. Ask yourself these questions. What receives my first energy? What receives my first attention? What receives my first affection? These are areas of your life that we can ask these questions. And here are some tests that will help us with that as well. Some areas that will quickly reveal where our priorities are. If you look at these areas of your life with the specific purpose of, you know, what do they indicate about my priorities, I guarantee you will find something. They will reveal something. Number one is your calendar. Where do you spend most of your time? Now, it's probably easy to say work. Okay, yeah. But think specifically, too, about discretionary time. And not only just discretionary time, but all of our time. And maybe there's things, a lot of things in there we don't have that much discretion about, but we might have some, God might be speaking to us in some ways that as we spend this time, how we spend this time, how we work, how we commute, how we do some of these things, that we could do them in such a way that align with God's priorities. The second area is our bank account or our checkbook. Okay, do a quick review of where your money goes. It will tell you where your priorities are. Thirdly, check your stress level. Your stress level. What is causing you stress? Why are you stressed? It can be a big factor, not always, but it can definitely be an indicator of misplaced priorities. Because God promises in Isaiah 26:3, he promises that if we keep our mind on him, we will have peace. I memorized it from the old King James Version. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, perfect peace is yours. It's a promise from God if we will just fix our minds, focus our minds, keep our minds on him. Man, I would love perfect peace. Wouldn't you like perfect peace? Well, if we don't have perfect peace and it's a promise from God, let's do a little look into how come, why. And it might reveal something about our priorities. If a heavenly change were made in this area, how might it bring about God's presence and peace? Here's a slide I want to draw to your attention. So in the center, we've got God's kingdom. And in the rings around the center, we've got career, recreation, reputation. Ask yourself, which ring am I aiming at? What's my target? See, without clarity of purpose, life can become cluttered. If we lack clarity, we'll chase after whatever is feeling pressing in the moment. And the most important things, the things of God and the person he's trying to develop us into, those things get pushed to the background and possibly neglected. So, road trip stop number one is having God-honoring priorities is knowing your purpose. Do you have clarity of purpose? All right, now we're arriving at stop number two. Open the doors, step out, and soak in the scenic vista of courage to protect. Courage to protect. Once you have clarity of a God-given priority, next step is to defend it. Protect it. Because the urgent will always attack the important. Good will try to keep us from the best. What is appealing can distract us from the most admirable. Mary and Martha in the Gospel of Luke are great examples, and they teach us an important lesson. In their story, in Luke chapter 10, Martha's distracted with preparations. She is so busy doing things around the house, preparing food. We don't know all the things that she's doing, but she's very busy, it says. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in everything that he is saying, everything that he is teaching. Martha was busy. Mary was prioritized. Look what Jesus said to Martha in Luke 10, 41 and 42. He says these words, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but very few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Notice the word chosen. Priorities are not accidental. They are intentional. Think about going to the airport. You're packed for a trip. You've carefully put things in your luggage, and you go up to security, and if there happens to be something in there that is not on the approved checklist, well, what are they going to do? They're going to take it out. It's going to go through that x-ray or the scanner, and they're going to see that and take it out. Why? Well, because certain things are not permitted on the plane. If you want a life of priority, we must conduct spiritual security checks. This is how we remove things or change things in our life, like distractions, damaging or dysfunctional relationships, excess commitments, unnecessarily or unhealthy comparisons. You cannot carry everything and go far. Here's a biblical example. When rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah faced distractions from several people, Sanballat, Geshem, Tobiah, some of those guys. They were trying to get him to stop building. And they wanted him to come down off of that wall and to go meet with them at another location, another village. And here is Nehemiah's response. He says this in Nehemiah 6:3. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it? That's courage. He refused to step down from priority to entertain. What is it that God might be saying to us this morning about a priority that he desires in our life or in his church that he has placed you in that somehow keeps getting pushed to the back burner? God's plan and purposes are so important that they need safeguarded. They need protected. And just like we would never think about leaving our most important possessions just laying around somewhere where everybody has access to them in a public place or right in our front lawn or wherever it might be, that somebody could just take them. Well, the same is true with this important prized possession that God has given us, his priority for our life. It needs safeguarded and treasured. Learn to say no without guilt, later without apology, not now without fear, for the purpose of protecting godly priorities. Not to protect our own priorities, but God's priorities, and to discern the difference. Look at this next slide. We got two lists here. Urgent and important. Urgent things like emails, phone calls, social media, notifications, all these things. Important. Prayer, marriage, discipleship, integrity. Sometimes what can happen is some things can feel so urgent that we feel like we've got to put out the fire there, and we start forgetting about the most important things. So ask ourselves, well, which category dominates our life? Do these things that feel urgent dominate our life, or are the things that are truly important, do they dominate our life? See, the things that scream the loudest at us, they're not always the most important. Courage means protecting what matters most, even when misunderstood. All right, now that we've made our stops at clarity of purpose and courage to protect, let's continue on to our third stop, and that is consistency in practice. Consistency in practice. Clarity identifies. Courage defends and protects. Consistency sustains. It's not enough to choose priorities one time. It's a daily battle. Every single day, it is choosing what is most important. Here's a biblical example. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, he says these words about discipline. He says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." Boy, how we've seen that in the Olympics, if you watched any of the Olympics. Man, people have been training in the strict discipline for years for this moment to win a prize. But he goes on and he says, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. If I were to summarize that passage in just a very few words, I would say it's priority without discipline dissolves. We can have priorities. We can have good intentions. But if there's not the discipline to go with it, then the priorities just evaporate. They're just gone. Think about a compass. A compass, it does not shout. It points to the north. It just consistently points to the north. It can be raining, it can be snowing, it can be great weather. It doesn't matter. It just remains steady, always consistently pointing to the north. Your spiritual disciplines, they are your compass. Daily prayer, scripture, reading, meditating, worship, accountability, all those disciplines, they are your spiritual compass. They keep us on course. Without them, we drift. And drift, it's subtle. No one plans to drift. It just happens. Consider Daniel. Look at his spiritual discipline. He had a habit of praying three times a day. In Daniel chapter 6, we see that they made a decree that forbade prayer. But Daniel didn't panic. He didn't protest. He simply continued his discipline of praying three times every day. Consistency sustained conviction. He didn't rise to the occasion. He rose to his habits, to his spiritual disciplines. You don't determine your priorities during a crisis. You reveal them in a crisis. So it's our application to this. Establish those spiritual rhythms. Establish those disciplines. Morning surrender. Morning devotions before scrolling. Here's one I've said multiple times. Bible before breakfast. Or maybe in some cases, it's Bible before that you turn on the TV in the evening, whatever it is that helps you think about God. Weekly Sabbath renewal, regular evaluation of commitments, intentional time with spouse or kids. Intentional scheduling reflects intentional living. Consistency turns good intentions into godly impact. Let me say that one again. Consistency, it turns good intentions into godly impact. All right, let's bring it all together. Mediocrity happens when we major in the minors. We spend energy climbing ladders, only to discover that those ladders are leaning against a wall we really didn't want to climb. So let me ask, are you climbing successfully but living shallowly? Are you achieving professionally but neglecting spiritually? Are you admired publicly but absent privately? Priority answers those questions. At the center of Christian priority is the cross. It all revolves around the cross. Jesus pointed to obedience over comfort, purpose over popularity, sacrifice over self. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Jesus knew what came first. He knew his priority, and he remained focused on that priority. And because he chose kingdom priority, we have salvation today. And if Christ made your redemption his priority and my redemption his priority, should he not receive ours? Here's some practical steps for this week. Let's get specific. Number one, audit your activities. Audit your activities. Write down what you do. Maybe it's already written down in the calendar. Go over it. Look at it and see what aligns with eternal values. Secondly, establish non-negotiables. Okay? Things in your life that are non-negotiables, that compass in your life. Establish those things. They might be a daily time with God, weekly worship, protected family time. Thirdly, eliminate one. Okay, just one. Energy drain. Something that is keeping you from being aligned with spiritual kingdom priorities. Just one commitment, one distraction, one unnecessary obligation. Change it, eliminate it, if possible. That doesn't align with God's purpose. And then revisit monthly. Do a regular check, because priorities drift unless they are reviewed. In conclusion, consider Joshua. Joshua stood in the front of the nation of Israel, and he called for a decision. You know his famous words. He said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Choose. God issues that same call for us today. Choose. Choose your priorities carefully. And we do that by clarity of purpose, courage to protect, and consistency in practice. Mediocrity is not defeated by talent, not by our abilities. It's defeated by decision. When you determine what comes first, peace is going to replace pressure. Focus will replace frenzy. Significance replaces superficiality. The compass will point faithfully. The wall will stand firmly. The road trip to God's priorities requires intentional navigation. But the destination is definitely worth it. And I have to admit, it's even better than a destination to the Great Pacific Northwest. You were made for more than reacting to life's demands. You were made to seek first His kingdom. Would you stand together? Our gracious and loving God,